Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Gary O'Neill reveals the Norwich squad's bonding moves from the pitch to the dressing room bath.
If you're going to squeeze up, we need to all squeeze up together.
And Seb Bassong answers what we've all wanted to know. Is bird the word or is grease the word?
Yeah, I think frustration is the word.
Oh, and what was that, Gary?
Need a miracle to come back from 2-0 down.
West Ham. More yellow and green than a daffodil up a frog's arse. This is the Little Yellow Bird Podcast. Hello and welcome to the 22nd ever episode of the Little Yellow Bird Podcast. My name is John Rogers and this is Dan Brigham. Say yo.
Brigham.
Sorry, I feel bad now. I'll do it again.
It's my only contribution to the podcast usually. Brigham.
Yeah, it was shit. Dan.
Brigham. Yeah, Brigham.
Yeah. He's all right.
Do you know my middle name, John?
William.
John.
William?
John.
What? It's like Elvis and Costello.
Laurel and Hardy. The Chuckle Brothers.
You don't get it. Elvis and Costello, you don't get it. So, this is a podcast about Norwich City, and what we have coming up today, that's my northern accent, is what? What's wrong?
Generic northern accent.
Yeah.
You know, there was someone I used to work with who, when doing a joke, would always drop into an accent. And nice. You know, that's a sign of being nervous about your joke being crap.
Is it?
Because you sort of try and disguise it behind the wall of someone else saying it.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
I'll do the joke though. I need it.
I need it?
Yeah.
Who?
What?
I need a poo. I don't need a poo though.
You've heard that. I've heard that before. Anyway, so what we've got coming up today is we've got a token female, the wonderful Melissa Rudd, who was talking about Norwich, and she's very knowledgeable, knows her stuff.
She's very good, isn't she?
And then we're also going to talk about... should we talk about
West Ham?
Well, we didn't talk about the Aston Villa game.
Oh, yeah, we didn't.
Because you were ill.
Ages ago, wasn't it?
You had slop coming out of your ear holes.
Oh, I still do.
And we'll ignore that. Never happened. Mm. And we're also going to talk about West Ham. We're going to talk about the Leicester game, which is about 3 years' time.
Dan versus John.
Dan versus
and
John.
And we also read out
tweets.
Your top 10 tweets.
Oh, yeah, before we get going, I'm going to tweet this out right now.
Oh, yeah.
On the way to the podcast, I don't know if it's going to work, but I'm going to try it anyway. On the way to the podcast, I saw a man walk out of a shop, take a tin of beans out of a carrier bag, open them, and swig at them like a can of Coke. A tin of beans.
He was obviously, you know, hungry and needed it. I needed the substance.
So this is my live tweet of the podcast. Plus. I'm going to send this tweet out right now while Dan talks about... football and shit.
I mean, that I've seen something worse than that, I think.
Go on, then, tell us then.
When I used to live in Brighton...
Do it slowly, because I'm about to...
When I used to live in Brighton, I was walking down the street on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon, and there were two sort of 16, 17-year-olds hung outside a restaurant. One of them had a Red Bull. The other one had a loaf of bread. You know, a normal-sized loaf of bread they may have just purchased from a supermarket. I was walking past quite slowly. It was a summer's afternoon. And one of the kids...
Not this slow.
One of the kids started holing out the loaf. So he took out chunks of bread from within the loaf, but retained the outer sides of the loaf. And then the other kid got his Red Bull can and poured... the Red Bull contents into the loaf of bread and to fill it up to the top in the hole that they'd left. And then they started eating from the loaf of bread, like with the Red Bull inside. And that's the most feral, disgusting thing I'd seen in a good long time, I think. Certainly since leaving Norfolk back then, anyway.
Do you know what they call that?
Red gives you wings?
Come on.
No, I don't know. What do they call it, John?
I'm trying to think.
Oh.
A yeaster bomb.
A yeaster bomb? No. Yeah, it could be. Which is probably more disgusting than seeing someone swill from a baked bean can. I can't drink baked beans.
Oh, sorry. No one can drink baked beans. No. That's the weirdest thing.
I don't like cold baked beans.
The thing
beans.
Is, I just saw him go like that and take
like
a gulp.
Like what? You've done that to me. What did he do? So he knocked it back.
Tipped it back into his face.
Yeah.
Gulped. And I had to drive on. So I never knew what happened after that.
I think
he probably went, oh, shit, what have I done? I've opened the can of beans. Shit, oh.
Yeah, he probably had a can of Coke as well with him. And he meant to open the can of Coke and drink that. And so
there you go. I have tweeted it for the podcast. What is the worst thing you've ever seen being eaten at Carrow Road?
Okay, and so hopefully people tell us. So is that from yours?
Yeah. Oh, shit. Oh, sorry.
Well, okay. I can't follow it now, can I?
We'll retweet or something. So there we go. So that was a good thing. Let's talk about this then. Home and Away.
Norwich City Games at Carrow Road, and somewhere that's not Norwich, home and away.
So the West Ham game, that came and went like a breeze in the night. It was.
It wasn't. It was a breeze that turned into a gale force storm and then didn't relent until full time.
A bit like Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah. Or a bubbly fart.
Oh. What?
Sorry.
We've got Melissa Rudd on this podcast.
What? You?
What?
Nothing. Let's move on.
You've ruined it. Yeah. You've ruined everything. But I just want to announce my retirement from the Little Yellow Bird Project after Dan said that. So we are going to talk about West Ham. What on earth happened? We were 2-0 up. We were cruising. We were bruising them. So what on earth happened, Dan?
Well, we weren't bruising them, were we?
But
we
2-0 down?
Yeah, but we weren't.
What more do you want to do?
It's not like we were overpowering them at all, across the pitch and stuff. It was great, though. We were good. Well, we were mostly good. First half, it was a bit sloppy.
From both teams.
Yeah. But then when, we hadn't seen for a long time, which was a Norwich team playing as a unit with solid shapes, high up the pitch, creating sort of chances for our forward attacking players to sort of run into space and stuff. And we hadn't seen that for a long time, and it was brilliant. And it was all going very well. And Alex Neil had promised that we'd go back to attacking football. And we had gone back to attacking football. And it worked great. But then our old individual errors and defensive frailties came back.
Do you think it was individual errors? Or do you think it was just real decent play from West Ham and bad luck from us? The finish from Noble.
Terrific finish. And Moses' run was good. It was very powerful. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of people after that said, 2-0, we should have immediately taken Redmond off, taken Houlihan off, gone on defensive. And, you know,
I agree.
Do you, though? Because, there's a difference. There's ways of doing it. Look, some people saying we should have dropped deep, which would have been madness with Andy Carroll on the pitch, because that's exactly what he thrives on, teams dropping deep, winning balls in the penalty area, which is what he did for the second goal. And, you know, you saw the mess.
I got live tweets.
Yeah, I know. You can read them out at certain junctures, can't you? And
I don't want to listen to you.
it's
you've broken my thing. Look, go on.
So dropping deep would have been madness because it sort of played into Andy Carroll's hand. What we didn't do right is we didn't sort of keep possession. We were still bombing on rather than playing the high line and just trying to keep the ball as we did at Wembley against Middlesbrough. But we kept playing those sort of forward passes and trying and getting midfielders overlapping, Gary O'Neill and Howson both pushing on, when really we could have just sort of sunk back in a bit. What's wrong?
I heard a massive banging noise, that's all.
Did you?
Yeah, what's
wrong? I've got both headphones on.
You missed it. Yeah. So, I think, can you remember when we went to the Man City game, we went through at the back?
Yes.
We could have done that.
What? Why?
Because we're 2-0 up.
And?
Stop them from getting in behind us. By playing three central finishers and then drop the
Yeah, but you remember what happened in the Man City game, don't you?
Yeah, but because that was an individual mistake rather than them getting in behind us.
Well, yeah, but they individual and mistake in our own penalty box because we dropped really deep, though.
That's Man City, though, isn't it?
And also, we'd be.
I'm not just because we're going for a third. I'd rather just. We're not that sort of team. I don't think we've got the ability to do that in the Premiership.
No, but it's different. But it's not going for a third. It's just making sure. You don't need to radically change what's worked. Bill Sam barely had a sniff when we were until we were 2-0 up. So keep the high line. But just stop the players from bobbing on all the time. Why, you don't change formation when it's sort of worked all right. suddenly change formation in the 70th minute would sort of invite trouble, wouldn't it?
I know Alex Neil said after the game that it was he's tried it two or three times, it's never come off for him, which is fair enough.
Okay. Tried what?
Like going defensive, taking a defensive or attacking player off like Wes or Redmond and putting a more defensive player on.
I think he was just talking generally about going defensive, wasn't he?
Yeah, but,
rather not after.
No, he was just saying, I've taken Wes off and it's never worked for me, he's saying.
Yeah.
I think it's a balance. I think I've had 2-0. I think we could have just not gone defensive, but just taken Redmond off or Wes off, who's not that sort of player who's going to win the ball in the middle of the fence and break things up and making things a bit clumsy.
No, but then Wes keeps the ball better than most of our players.
Maybe Redmond was the person to come off then, because he stayed on the whole game, didn't he?
Redmond's pace is kind of useful if you turn to counter-attack. I mean, there are lots of... I mean, basically, lots of people who say we should have gone more defensive have a good point. But what Neil did is also had logic to it as well, I think. But what they fucked up was, as Neil likes to say, is game management. They didn't keep the solid lines.
Game management.
Game management. They didn't keep the their solid lines. So you had O'Neill still bombing forward when he should have been sitting. And you had Martin, Closer and Bessong all, for the first goal, all in the West Ham's half, which, you know, was far too far forward. You know, if you're keeping a high line, you can still drop sort of 5 yards, narrow it in midfield. But to be that high up and, you know, both central defenders and the right back that high up was a bit asking for trouble, I think. But you don't go ultra defensive and just suddenly drop deep, because then that's when panic sets in. And that's how West Ham got their second goal, essentially, and how they nearly got the winner as well.
They were caught offside quite a few times in the first half, weren't they? Maybe that was the plan, just to keep a high line, just to, so they kept getting offside, because it worked for the first 60 minutes or so.
Yeah, I mean, it did work for most of the match, didn't
it? And even when it broke through and Brady did that like last-ditch tackle that he does.
He's done a lot. He's going to be doing that a lot against Leicester.
Well, maybe he's the last... Maybe he should be pushing up a little bit further, because he always seems... Maybe he's the one that's keeping people on side.
Well, he did, didn't he? He played him on side
He might look really good, like getting back and getting that tackle in, because he's got the pace to do that.
Yeah.
And he was close to giving away a penalty and a red card, actually, which would have been a nightmare.
Well, no, he won the ball, didn't he?
Yeah, but he was close. Every time he's done that, he's looked really good at making the challenge. This one was a bit clumsy, wobbling. If he'd have got the ball clean away, they wouldn't have obviously scored their goal. Yeah.
It was a bit you mean that time?
Yeah.
Oh, because Brady did it in the first half as well, didn't he? When he ran across, he'd played them onside and then ran across and...
No, it's about the goal.
Oh, you're right, yeah.
Yeah. No, that one was a bit clumsy.
Yeah, well, then Closer was a bit clumsy as well. Yeah. He just stayed on his feet. Although it looked like he'd been tripped, but... by Moses.
I was saying to someone today that we don't seem to have much luck. Like we don't seem to get that like last minute chance Liverpool. Yeah, well, yeah, I guess.
And also against Liverpool, we got a last minute equaliser.
Yeah, but I'm talking about they never seem to hit the post and go out, and it's always just like nine times out of ten, Noble would have hit that and it gone top.
Just gone flying over,
over or wide or into someone's arse.
Yeah.
They just happened to woof straight into the top corner, properly in the top corner.
Well, that's the thing, though, about dropping. We had, like, 5 players on the goal line, practically, didn't we?
That's the way forward, I think.
And when Noble put it in, it's just the people saying we should drop deep. It's just madness, I think.
No, let's not drop deep. I just think we could have got 3 in the back and put 2 and put Martin in the middle. And who could have put right back? We haven't got any other right backs, have we? We got any other right backs at the club?
No, I don't think so. No.
That's gone. Maybe just a team of right backs.
We could almost have a team of right backs, actually.
The whole defence is just right backs.
Maybe put Stephen Whittaker on in holding central midfield.
It worked really well last time. Yeah. If you were going to play all the right backs in as a back four, who would be right back?
Robbie Brady. Yeah, Robbie Brady out there, like he was against Man City.
I'm getting some good tweets, by the way.
Okay.
These are live tweets.
Let's go for them. So what was the question you asked, Ian?
I asked people... Actually, people have been... Why can't they just be sensible for once? What's wrong with them? Okay. The first one is from Richard Freezer. Uh-huh. And it says, when's the album out, John? Well, the album is out. Seb Bessong eating Jamie Vardy's dust. It's not what I was wanting.
Also predictive, that, as well. Although, earlier in the season, I suppose.
Adam Brandon says, sort of on theme, so it's not going to be at all. Mm-hmm. Last match I attended at Carrow Road was the 1-1 with Stoke. First home match back in the Premier League.
Oh, yeah.
And there was some lad in the Gerald trying to undo wrappers of Starburst rather than celebrate... is it Delart or Delay? I can't remember.
Delet.
the Lats opener.
Huh.
Not what I was looking for again, but that's not the worst
thing. Remember at Wembley, there was a sort of 5-year-old or 6-year-old behind me, and he came back from at half time with a massive hot dog, and he looked so happy and so excited. Oh. Then he dropped it, and he looked absolutely crushed.
I bet you laughed.
No, I didn't. I went, oh!
Did you? Yeah, so you watch a cat die and laugh, but you see a hot dog on the floor. Clarbo says, Glenn Roeder's own words when Neil Adams was appointed manager.
What were the words?
Get out.
What?
Get out. That's what the words were.
Okay.
Muller Rice.
Oh, right. I don't like Muller Rice myself.
What's wrong?
Not a fan of Muller Rice.
No. Someone else says water burgers.
What?
A boiled burger.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, that's what I've got so
far. Is that a critique of the offering, I think, isn't it? Of the burger
boiled
offering.
Boiled burger.
That Stoke game that the Adam Brandon was at, it still has my highlight of the season, which was a large amount of fans booing the water break that was forced on the team because it was about 35 degrees that day.
It wasn't that game.
1-1 against Stoke. Oh, I miss it was. Wasn't what, it?
When Richie Dillard scored. It was age and age and age
right.
It's about 3 seasons ago when he was loaned for us. Although I do like booing. It was really hot that day.
It was.
There was live tweets. Live tweets.
There'll be more, I'm sure.
I'm never going to do this ever again, by the way.
Hopefully better.
Yeah, never ever going to do this.
So Ruddy was back anyway, wasn't he?
I was hoping someone's going to, like, oh, someone was eating a raw egg or something like that.
Yeah,
I was
with a bit of pepper or salt on top.
Yeah.
Who's the detective that does that? Wasn't there a fictional detective that eats raw eggs with a bit of pepper or salt on top?
No.
Can you live tweet that?
Yeah.
No, don't. Don't bother. So John Ruddy was back.
John Ruddy was back. From punching people in the face in Tombland, back and ready for action.
And he was worth it, John.
He was worth
it. He was all right, wasn't he?
Yeah, he made a couple of good saves.
He was less large,
I thought. That's the interesting thing, because that's what Alex Neil said in the interview.
He did, didn't he? Yeah.
Like, oh, he's
got... Oh, did he?
He's saying he's a lot lighter.
Oh, you're lighter. And fresher as well. Which just suggested deodorized, or perhaps changed his deodorant.
Or...
Because sometimes deodorant, if you use too often... no longer has the desired effect. Your cells get used to it.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's true.
I was thinking of Febreze, to be honest. Maybe just a couple of squeezes of Febreze.
Yeah. Get onto the phone. Great. Get on the phone to them. Squeeze. You're just like Don Draper, you are, aren't you?
Squeezes of Febreze. I can't say it.
No.
He did all right.
Yeah, he... Well, that
experience, I think that's what other thing that Alex Neil
He was communicative.
For. That's not a word, is it?
Because I was sort of... he was right to be dropped, I thought. Rudd started really well. And I think Ruddy's on a bit of a slow decline. But he was seemed more slimlined. And the shot he saved from Victor Moses, which was parried to Payet to score, which, you know, wasn't Ruddy's fault, was a great save. And he got down really quickly to it, which I don't think he would have done earlier in the season. He just looked a bit lumbering earlier in the season. So to get down that quickly and that low suggested maybe some of that old agility might be back if
hopefully.
He's shed a few pounds.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Last Thursday, I followed him from him pulling out of a road all the way to him pulling out of another road.
Well, he lives near you.
He does near me.
Yeah.
And he hesitated at a junction.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh. Hope he's not like that with crosses.
He's like it was like a corner.
It's like a what?
It was like a corner.
A corner?
Yeah, he was a bit hesitant on the corners.
Yeah, I just did the corner joke.
Oh, shit.
I did crosses.
You did crosses, see? You ruined my joke.
Sorry, I took your punchline, didn't I?
Damn. Oh, well.
What does he drive?
Big Land Rover with J.Line Ruddy
on it.
I've got a picture.
No, that probably doesn't really work well.
I know, I could tweet it though.
Okay.
There we go. It's good.
You photoed while driving.
Yeah. Well, I was at a stationary point and I turned the engine off.
Okay, good boy.
I didn't. It's really blurry.
We're driving real
I drove
quick.
Really close to
that. It was really snowy and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like 50 miles an hour, really close so I could get a good picture.
You'd do anything for an exclusive interview with him, wouldn't you? Run him off the road.
Oh, maybe I should have.
Ruddy rage.
Yeah.
It would be better if it was Declan because then you could have Rudd rage.
And then someone
you?
Can come out and, oh, what a bitch. And it's on his ringtone or something.
Yeah.
There we go.
I bet there was a bit of Rudd rage when he found out he was dropped for Saturday's game.
Mm. Talking of Rudd. it's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm getting better at this. It's the time for this week's Token Female.
Now it's time for Token Female.
Hello and welcome to this week's token female, which is Melissa Rudd. Hooray!
Hey.
Hello, Melissa.
Hello, guys.
How are you?
Very well, thanks. Yourself?
We are well. Dan is well, speaking on behalf of him. But we're here to talk about Norwich City Football Club. Let's make a change. Let's talk about Norwich for a change. So,
why not?
What on earth has been happening? How's that for a question?
Well, where do we start? I still feel emotionally drained and exasperated from Saturday. To be honest, I don't think I've ever seen a team so dead and buried as West Ham at 2-0. So how we let that lead slip is just goes beyond. Well, the thing was, obviously, after the Liverpool game and obviously being 3-1 up, letting that lead slip, that was bad enough. But Liverpool had shown, you know, touches of class, had shown how kind of good they were. Yet with West Ham, we'd contained them. There'd been little threat, to be honest. You know, we were catching them offside. Highline was working. Two goals to the good. And then you just knew as soon as we conceded, it was either going to be 1 point or none. So,
well, interestingly, we found a clip from Gary O'Neill after the Aston Villa game saying, you need a miracle to get back from 2-0 down. And
against Norwich, though.
Exactly, and not against Norwich. That's the issue we're having at the moment, isn't it? We can't seem to close out games. Why do you think that is?
I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a psychological thing. I don't know if it's lack of panic, lack of concentration. It just seems as soon as we kind of get a comfortable lead, we just panic. We panic at the back. We lose all sense of shape. It's like we're a team we've never played together before. But funnily, it's kind of like when the score's then level, we then play okay again, like we did when it was 2-2. You know, I know they had a chance to win at the end, but so did we. And going forward, we didn't look too bad again. But I don't know. I don't know what it is. But
it's frustrating, isn't it? It's really frustrating because we've been in really good positions for the last two of the three home games and of two goal leads, and we've given away. Never mind. Go on, Dan. You say something.
You sound really sad.
Oh, you do. I was thinking that.
There was quite. I mean, is there any bit of positivity from it? As you say, we were sort of quite good going forward, and there was a bit. The fun seemed to have returned a little bit as well. Sort of better than certainly better than Villa away and Spurs at home. There was a sense that we were, you know, we know we need to win games now. We can't rely on just picking up a few draws here and there. And it looks like we've returned sort of our early season way of playing, hasn't it? Is that a good thing? Do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there were positives. It's just, it's hard to focus on them when it's the same kind of defensive problems that consistently plague our performances. I mean, you know, I predicted a 2-2 scoreline.
Oh, I did too.
Yeah.
Did you, John?
No, tell you what, I had a bet the first time I've ever been a football guy. I put a bet on.
Okay.
And I went for 2-1 Norwich.
Oh.
It was so close. I only won £16.
You could have got them to pay out, I suppose.
I know, 16 quid. That's a lot of money, that is.
You had literally about 75 seconds to cash that bet
in. I did. I was running down to the steps to get my £6, but then they scored a goal.
Where do you see the footballs going from here, though? I mean, Neil has said we're going to carry on attacking. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Oh, definitely a good thing. You know, there's no point approaching these last, 12 games now?
Yep.
Is that all how,
yeah.
Oh.
I mean, that's still a third of the season.
No.
Well, it is, isn't it? Almost a third of the season. 36, 38 games, yeah.
If we win every game, that's all the points we need to stay up.
We'll be fine. We'll be fine.
Are you saying we can get into Europe?
Yes.
Okay.
We're going to Europe.
But I suppose, do you think if we go and try and attack Leicester, they're going to beat us 6-0?
We're going to beat Leicester.
I mean, I think, I'm going to that game and I can't think about it without getting a little bit scared.
Well, the people of Leicester are quite scary. I don't blame you.
It's definitely the way we've got to go. There's no point approaching the games like we did at Villa. I mean, it's part of the formation now as well, isn't it? We've got to start playing players in their best positions. Johnny Hansen has to play centrally. He proved that again on Saturday.
We both punched the air when you said that, by the way.
Literally punched the air.
I mean, it's just, why you would play him anywhere else? I'm not sure. You know, Wes, I'm not convinced Wes is effective when he sort of, I know he was kind of played out on the left on Saturday.
Wondered where you were going with
Saturday.
If you just ended at effective,
we would probably have
hung up.
Oh, come on,
the man's effective. He's just not effective on the left wing. I mean, no, I think on Saturday he kind of took turns. There was one point where Naismith was left wing and then sort of even Redmond drifted over there. I was like, it's just...
Well, his flick that set up the second goal was, he was on the left, wasn't it?
That was right Redmond. In front of me, that was.
Yeah.
I smelt exactly. Flick.
That was a very sexy flick.
Yeah.
The thing is as well, with Danny Simpson suspended for Leicester, I don't think they've got another right back at the club. So,
oh, is that right? I did not know that.
Yeah, that's what...
Richie Delamont went off somewhere to someone else, didn't he?
Did he leave
on loan, yeah.
Middlesbrough.
So, yeah, that's it. So I've got one of my best friends is a Leicester fan, and when he got sent off on Sunday, he literally texted me saying, we've got no other right back at the club. So, I mean, we've got to attack that side. We've got, like on Saturday, we should have given Sam Byron a direct opponent, I think, because he was their weak link at the back. He's the inexperienced one. He was, if anyone's going to make a mistake, it was him.
Yeah.
We didn't kind of give him a problem to deal with, and we've got to sort that out ahead of fortnight's time.
Are we staying up?
I agree.
Are we staying up, Melissa?
Yeah, simple question. Are we staying up, yes or no?
Or maybe. Ooh, I don't know, really.
I so want to say yes, but my head tells me no.
Oh.
I want to say yes.
I've heard that so much in my life. Why do I always hear that? It like echoes around in my head.
So are you saying we're getting relegated?
If we play how we can play...
Uh-huh.
We'll stay up.
But when's the last time we played like we can play?
Oh,
on Saturday.
The problem, isn't it?
Well, we drew 2-2.
Yeah, but that's how, basically that's how we play, though.
Yeah, we won't
it?
Stay up then if we draw every game 2-2, or will we?
12 more points?
Ooh,
no, we need 15 probably, don't we? Something like that.
We need a win.
Yeah.
We just need to get out of this kind of
rut,
losing, drawing rut that we are.
I like
we
the
find
word
ourselves
rut.
In.
Yeah.
What other three-letter words do you like? Rut.
Me?
Yeah, just I like three-letter word. Rut and.
Not really a question I've ever thought about. Yeah.
Well, are you related to Declan Rudd?
Not that I know of.
Are you related to John Ruddy?
No, okay. Not that I know of either.
I suppose Rudd is quite a popular surname, isn't it?
That'd be really good if you ever do. Who do you think you are? And it goes, and you find out you are like long lost cousins. Can you get us some tickets?
Possibly, yes. If my family roots go back to Dis or whatever, Norfolk.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Can he from, then you never know.
I bet he actually is from Dis as well.
I think he is from Dis, isn't
well
he?
Well done. How did you know that?
Stalker. Well, I used to work in Dis. So,
did you?
I think he's their most famous resident.
No.
Well, yeah, second probably. Favourite. Second after you, Melissa.
What, in Dis? Oh, I've never lived in Dis. Thank goodness.
Oh.
No, it's...
We apologise to any of our diss listeners, although it's a bit
shit. No, I don't mean that. I just mean it's too a little bit too close to the Suffolk border for my liking.
She just dissed the diss. Classic words.
It's not too bad. It's not too bad. I'll take that back.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Felicity. This is your star. Thank you for being our token female this week.
No problem at all. Anytime.
And we need a prediction for the Leicester game.
Oh, I'm going to say a high-scoring 3-2 defeat.
Ooh. That'd be fun, though, wouldn't it?
It would. Would you be
That's
happy?
Better than losing 2-0 at Villa.
Would you be happy to go if we lost every game by one goal, but we really went for it and scored some really cool goals, like 4-3 every game? Would you be happy if we went down like that?
No. Oh. You can't be. I can't take much more of that. After that Liverpool game.
Chris Hughton in, that's what I say.
Let's not go there.
All right. Thank you very much, then. We'll speak to you soon.
Cheers.
No problem. Bye. See you later, guys. Bye. Bye.
Oh, are you there?
Up.
Where's he gone?
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah.
Oh, he's there. Bye.
Bye. Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye. No problem. See you later.
And that was Melissa Rudd, the fantastic broadcaster and writer for EDP and all sorts of things.
Yes.
She's good, isn't she?
She is good. She talks lots of sense, much more sense than we ever do.
I hate when people do that, which happens a lot.
Although she couldn't think of a good three-letter word.
Exactly. Pin, bum, boo.
Bob.
See?
I mean, Bob.
Can you see? That three-letter words are funnier.
Mel, Dan,
John. They're three, except that one. But three-letter words are funnier than any other word.
Tip.
You want to laugh, don't you?
Yeah, see? I am laughing.
Exactly.
Are they funnier than other... Well, one-syllable words probably are funnier.
I don't know.
Although, I don't know, shithead is better than shit.
Piss.
So, piss head. Put a head on the end of anything and it's funny, actually.
Head?
John head.
No, that's not, is it?
Yeah, or John face.
Or we're putting piss on the end of something. John piss. See?
No, piss John.
Okay, so what we're going to do now is this...
What are we going to do now?
What do you mean?
Is it Dan versus John? It
fucking is Dan versus John.
Dan versus John.
Who cares? Everyone cares. Do you know why? Because we're on a roll. So... Are you ready for this?
I think so.
I'm going to give you...
What are the scores? Lost count after a week off.
I was winning, probably.
Probably, yeah. I think you were.
I'm going to give you...
Okay.
Three... What's wrong with you, Fanta? I'm going to give you three players.
Yeah.
And you've got to tell me which one's the oldest, which one's the middle age, and which one's the youngest.
Okay.
Okay. For example, John Ruddy, Declan Rudd, and Jake Keane.
Okay. Okay, Jake Keane's the oldest, Ruddy middle, and Rudd youngest.
No.
Is Keane, I'd assume Keane was really old for some reason.
No, he's really young. He's the youngest.
Okay.
So you failed the first one.
That was a practice one, though.
Yeah. So, I'm going to give you three players, and you've got to tell me who's the middle, the youngest, and the thing. Really?
Okay.
Martin Olsen. Ryan Bennett and Ivo Pinto.
Ooh.
Who's the oldest? Who's the youngest?
Ryan Bennett.
It's in the middle. Ryan Bennett, Martin Olsen, Ivo Pinto.
Ooh, Ryan Olsen.
So you've got three chances. You've got to get two out of three.
Okay, Martin Olsen, oldest. Can't think how old Pinto is. He looks quite young. But he's been around, he's been Portugal under 21, hasn't he? Bennett, middle, Pinto, youngest.
It's incorrect, unfortunately. Oh, Ryan Bennett's 25, Ivo Pinto is 26, and Martin Olsen is...
28?
27.
Pinto's 26?
26.
Well,
yeah. So here we go, next one.
I don't think we'll ever see him again, will we?
I'm trying to think who the best one to do is.
What do you mean?
I'm looking at the ages.
Oh, you haven't done them yet?
Yeah, I have.
Okay. Right,
I've changed my mind because I've just seen someone else.
Oh.
Should I put Tony Andrew in there? Okay. Johnny Howson. Graham Dorans.
Dorans.
Badis Odija Ofire.
No idea. Guessing. I mean, Housen is ageless anyway. Like a fine wine. Best kept in the cellar.
Housen. Dorans. Odija on fire. I'm on fire.
Badis is the youngest. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes.
Doran's been around. Gotta be. Doran's the oldest and House and Middle.
Correct. Vanessa 26. Okay. Johnny House is 27. 27. Imagine being that at 27.
Saving pigeons.
He's done everything in life.
Box to box midfielders.
And then Graham Doran's 28.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Is this the last one?
I've got to get this one right.
Okay.
Stephen Naismith. Cameron Jerome.
Naismith, Jerome.
Kyle Lafferty.
Shit. Aren't they all like the same age? Is this a trick one?
Nope. Well, it is, but it's not. Because they're all going to be older. And
well, obviously, yeah. Naismith's 29, isn't he?
Yes, he is. I'm just on it.
I reckon Jerome's 28. Oh, I don't know about Lafferty. Lafferty's been around probably longer than... Do you know the answer to this?
Yeah.
So, Naismith. Oh.
One is 1 month older.
You shit. Jerome is younger than Naismith, I think. But how old is Lafferty? I reckon Lafferty. Where did he start? Oh, I don't know. I know. Yeah, Naismith is older than Jerome. I reckon Jerome's 28 and Naismith's 29. What is Lafferty? but this is guessing, though. Essentially, this is just guessing.
It's calculated guessing, though, isn't it? Rather not.
Not really. Not if they're the 1 month apart. It's not calculated guessing. Is Lafferty 1 month from 20? Oh, I don't know. Naismith is the oldest.
Knob of the day.
Should have done that after Lafferty. It's quite funny Lafferty's still at Norwich, by the way. Naismith's the oldest. And then Lafferty, then Jerome. Jerome's the youngest.
Incorrect.
Oh, no. Go on then. What's
Naismith is 29.
Yes, I said
Cameron
that.
Cameron Jerome is 29.
Oh, is he? When was his birthday?
Lafferty is 28.
When was Jerome's birthday?
August. Middle of August. Really? And Naismith's is middle of September. So you're so close. But that was good, wasn't it? It's fun. Short, quick. Boom. Close.
Away.
So everyone knows their ages now. They just randomly put some... How old do you think the song is?
Younger than 30?
29.
Yeah.
All right, closer.
27
older?
Closer.
Whittaker or Martin?
Whittaker.
Yeah, he's 31.
How old is closer? 26?
27.
27.
He's got the nose of an 80-year-old. There we go. So that was Dan versus John, everyone. I'm still leading by about 40,000 million points. Boom, uh-huh. Ja-boom, ja-boom. Should we stop doing this soon? Although we need to get to the end of the season now, don't we? We'll get...
Yeah, exactly. It's only 12 to go. It's exactly. Games, so it's probably only 10 weeks or something.
That's sad.
Yeah.
So there we go. Happy days.
Nice one.
Well done.
Right.
Should we do tweets then?
Yeah, let's see the tweets.
So this week, I'll do it.
No,
tweets of the day. No one fucking else tweeted me. I know I'm never going to do that again. Thanks a lot, everyone who will listen to that. You rubbish thing.
We don't really often see people eating weird things
one
at
more.
Football.
Not out of the car, but once saw a guy outside the Canary store give a girl a love bite while she took a selfie of the vent, and that's from John fucking Punt. There we go.
Yeah, I bet it was him and his wife.
Oh, no, you've got a love bite on the side of your neck.
I've got what?
I was pretending. You look really serious. Like
I couldn't hear what you said. I think you said I've got a button on the side
of my
neck.
A button on the side of your neck. So let's do tweets then. So we asked people, if you had to say... That West Ham game, God, that film, Whoa. That reminds me of that bloody film I saw. What's it called?
If only I could just think of one.
Oh, I know and a good one. It's got a slight pun in it.
Yeah. Most people went for Groundhog Day because obviously we'd seen it happen before.
Basically, if you want to re-annoy us, go to Groundhog Day and...
Heaven knows I'm miserable now if it's a song.
Yeah.
Which some people did jokingly suggest for this one, knowing it was a film. Thank you very much. So number 10 is Sharon Matthews at Sharon underscore NCFC.
Who's Hi, gone, Sharon.
You know Sharon?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Who's gone for a razor head.
Nice.
Why is that nice, John?
Because, thing isn't it?
Who?
West Ham.
Sorry?
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, no, it didn't really make any sense, but it's a really good film.
A razor head.
Yeah, you know...
a razor, like you want to rub it out, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a David Lynch horror, where someone's like hide it living in a radiator, and a couple give birth to like a lizard-like creature.
Was Terry Waite a West Ham fan?
Well, that is an old-school reference. Terry Waite. Surely there's a more up-to-date hostage reference we can use.
Well, radiator songs.
Yeah, no, that's true. He was
talking of radiators.
He was chained to one, like... that boy George chap who he chained to a radiator as well.
Yeah.
Do you know when, have you ever been chained to a radiator?
Apart from now, no.
No. Okay. Yeah, so I didn't know what the razor head has to do with the game other than that it being
Sharon,
horrible.
Tweet me and let me know.
Yeah.
What the hell you meant. But you've got one, congratulations, you're top 10.
Top 10. Number 9, Chris.
Do we only get 9 this week?
Yeah, number 9, Chris Guns at Chris Guns. Another sort of slightly oblique reference to the game. Gone for Black Swan, the Natalie Portman film, because she wears a tutu and a finished tutu, which I thought
like
was
that.
Some invention. So
yeah.
I
well
put that
done.
In.
I'm glad that should be higher.
Well done, Chris Guns. We haven't heard it should be higher. Number 8 comes from Richard Freezer at Sheraton Vegas. How Not to Train Your Defence, Liverpool. And How Not to Train Your Defence to West Ham, which is How Not to Train Your Dragon. So, you know.
They're great movies.
Which is a better way than saying Groundhog Day, it's happening in the game. So, well done, Dick. Richard Freezer. Number 7.
Cold Dick.
Cold Dick. Cold Dick. Oh, no. I'm glad he didn't go to school with you. little ice lolly dick. Number 7, Paul Lancaster.
You like to lick it during the summer?
At Bomber Boy 467, The Song Remains the Same, which is a film about Led Zeppelin.
And is it?
Yeah, film. It's a documentary about their sort of film documentary about their concert.
Right.
And Zeppelin crashed like Norwich did as well, didn't it? That's me adding to it. Paul Lancaster didn't add to it.
The humanity.
Nicky Swift at Nicky Swift, Nick Ledger, who is my mate and designed our website, littleyellowbird.co.uk website. Goes for Jaws, because the stupid fucking shark that drags you back down when you think you've got your head above water. So there's sort of, bit of rather than a pun, different way of looking
like
at it.
I still like the 2-2 one. Keep going.
Although he did lose points for that, for originally writing Draws, D-R-A-W-S, by accident, instead of Jaws. and for swearing as well.
Well, it quite works, it draws, because we
Yeah, but, you know, he didn't mean to, though. Yeah.
Oh, I like that. That's
Draws the shark. I genuinely Googled it, thinking it was something from Nemo.
That's serendipity.
Serendipity?
Yeah.
No, that's good luck, serendipity.
No, it's not.
Yes,
when
it
something accidentally happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of falls into your lap kind of thing.
Yeah, so it accidentally...
Well, I suppose so,
Jaws,
yeah.
So it came out Jaws.
Freudian slip as well. Perhaps.
Pull down your drawers.
And number 5, Kevin Birchall at Kevin O. Heat. Kevin on Heat? Titanic. Lovely romance with a tragic ending, he says.
Oh.
Although it wasn't really a lovely
Happy
romance,
Happy Valentine's
was it?
Day, everyone, by the way.
Tragic endings. Number 4, Nick Alpers at Nick Alpers says, Bridge over the River Kwai. Plucky Brits build a magnificent structure knowing that they and compatriots will blow it up.
Racist.
number 3, Fionn Thomas. Do you want to do it?
I'll have a drink first, won't I?
Yep.
A drink.
Dope. She asks, can it be a film genre? Of course it can, Fionn. Hammer horror.
Oh!
There we go. Well done.
Yeah, well done.
Well done, Fionn.
You've done it.
As always. Number 3, we should get back on.
Yeah, we'll do. Yeah. Fionn, contact us.
Yeah.
Speak to our people.
Yeah.
Which is us.
Number 2, Duncan Edwards at Duncan Edwards 8. He's not been top 10 for a while,
Big
but here he is back in. Lock Stock until Moses and Carol.
Smoke and Barrel.
Yeah, Lock Stock until Moses and Carol. Your Muppets. Because that's what they say.
Your slag.
Yeah, your Muppet slags. Number 1, Adam Lambert.
Oh, talk about Muppet slags. If you had to have sex with a Muppet.
Muppets. I've seen the Muppets and Muppet Babies. Never saw Muppet
exactly,
slags.
Is that
what the precursor to Muppet Babies?
I used to love Muppet Baby.
Well, how is the mum a human in Muppet
Babies?
She
was a nanny.
You sure, though? Never explicit, was it?
Well, I don't think she's... They're all the same age. She can't bring out... like 20 Muppets in one go. She's not a dog.
Well, yeah, no. Or, well, if it was a dog, it would just be Fuzzy Bear.
Do you know rabbits
a bear.
Do you know rabbits eat their...
No. What?
Their testicles? Babies.
Oh, yeah, lots of animals do that, don't they? Like birds do that.
No, reason no rabbits, because our rabbit got pregnant once and then
ate
the baby.
It. Oh, no.
Ate the dead one.
I bet you couldn't look at it the same way then, could you?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
I just think
still
about
cute.
It.
Yeah.
I was looking at it and turned away and then looked at it again. Yeah, I could look at it.
Mm. Were you not feeding it at the time?
No, they just do it if it dies.
Well, guinea pigs do that as well, don't they?
Yeah, we don't know
when. Have you ever heard a guinea pig scream when it's dying? Horrific.
Oh, God.
Do you think the Silence of the Lambs is bad?
I bet you were laughing.
Oh, no, I didn't know what it was. It was absolutely horrific.
I accidentally stood on a rabbit once and broke its back.
Oh.
What are you laughing for?
I can't believe you brought
that up. I didn't do it on
up.
Purpose. I was on my beanbag and I jumped up and then I stood on it and it looked like it was on ice, like roller skates.
Right.
It was like constantly slipping.
Oh, no.
Oh, it was awful.
Saved a hedgehog once at primary school. Nearly got run over by a dinner lady. And we stopped the car, stopped her car from running it over.
I killed a seagull on purpose once.
Fuck, fair play.
Yeah, but it was dying, so I finished it off with a paving slab.
Yeah, you kicked it, really, didn't you?
I didn't, a paving slab, and it snapped in two.
Tweet us with your ways of killing animals inhumanely. Paving slabs, kicking to the arse.
Yeah, stand
punching
on
the
it.
Face. Cut its throat. Number one, anyway.
Cut its throat, number one.
Adam Lambert, Adam Connor says, gone in 120 seconds, which is how quickly they equalised. 2 minutes.
Did it?
Yeah.
God.
Gone in 120 seconds. Gone in 120 seconds. Which is double the film name.
Moses, God, is quite good.
Oh, yeah, I see where you go with that. Yeah, so well done, Adam Lambert, and well done, everyone.
Well done, everyone, especially the one who said 2-2. I like
and
that
And really, Sharon Matthews, can you please explain Eraserhead?
Eraserhead.
And if you haven't watched Eraserhead, do watch it, but it is fucking weird.
Shall I quickly text now? And then
no.
See but you could like, tell us before the end, because people we're going to forget by next week.
We are literally finishing it now, aren't we?
I mean, we've got loads left.
Oh, we haven't, have we?
We've got part two.
Part two?
Of Home and Away.
Oh, right, yeah, okay. We're not talking about that next week, though, because we're not playing this weekend.
Well, we're going to, because we're pressing the button. What did you just do?
I don't know, my chin hurts.
Norwich City Games, a Carrow Road, and somewhere that's not Norwich, home and away.
Fucking get on with it.
Yeah, we're getting on with it because it's coming towards the end of the podcast and we've got Everton. We've got Leicester next. No, I say Everton. But I think we're going to win.
Against Leicester?
Yes.
Why? Why, John?
Do you know? Because you know why.
Do you know, can I just say? I am also incredibly confident about winning there, despite all evidence to the contrary.
Do you know why?
Completely.
Do you know why? This is I'm going by.
Because we're dreamers, man. We're dreamers.
No. It's nothing to do with football.
Okay.
It kind of is. But you know,
you do know why we do this podcast.
Yeah. No.
You know, talking about dead animals, how to kill them.
Yeah. If you do want any advice on how to finish off a suffering,
please visit the yellowbirdproject.co.uk.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you to the people who've donated this week or whatever. People have donated to our Patreon account.
Whatever.
They?
We're thinking about doing like a video for people.
Yes.
So
exclusive to our Patreon.
Things.
I'd really call them lovers then, but
they are lovers.
Yeah, it's dark and
we're
twisted.
All lovers. Mm. Maybe just me and Dan like throwing various foods at each other.
At animals?
No. We can't afford
killing animals.
We could use all the money on hamsters and race them.
Race them or raise them?
Both.
As our little minions.
Yeah.
We go because we want to do these kind of Vox Pops thing, so we can send them out into Norwich and ask questions for us.
This is true. Another animal story. One of my friends bought a hamster when she was a student.
Yeah.
And took it to clubs to get people to buy her drinks for her.
What?
Like, I've got a hamster.
Right.
Can I have a drink? Like, in her handbag. Put a hamster in a handbag and went to go get drinks and shots. And like, can I have a free shot because I've got a hamster in my bag? What? Show them a hamster. And it fucking worked.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd no.
I was horrified. I'm not going to lie.
I think if someone approached me and did that, I might have buy them a drink just in case they'd do bad things to me if I said no or something. Someone's mad enough to do that.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I once had a hamster.
What's it called?
It was called, I can't remember now, but it was a girl and I had a boy's name.
You do know.
Stan. It was called Stan. Stan the hamster.
Oh.
It was a girl. And it was with an ex-girlfriend. And then,
why Stan? After what,
I can't remember. And No, wouldn't name animals after wife beaters. And well, I wouldn't. You just wouldn't, would you? And I had a hamster. Thought it was dead, and I was literally dangling it over a bin to get rid of it. And its eyes opened. Apparently, hamsters hibernate. I never knew. And obviously had some sort of awareness that it was about to be chucked away and woke itself up.
You didn't like bury it nicely?
No.
Chucked it away?
Well, what are we going to do? I didn't have a garden. I wasn't going to bury it in the garden.
Well, the little yellow bird will finally come out of RSPCA. It'll be on our fucking backs now.
Anyway, what were you saying?
Leicester, we're going to win.
Leicester, why?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, why?
Because every season, I'm shaking the salt.
Yeah, you're.
Every season, there is one team that beats the top of the league. You think, oh, I didn't see that coming.
Logic.
This is going to be
logic.
Us. Like, oh, Norwich. There's always like one big team. One team like implodes and they start going crap.
Isn't it something like the last three teams they've lost to in Arsenal, Chelsea, and. Tottenham or Man United, something like that. So it's a long time since they've lost to a shit team.
You watch.
I know, I don't know why I'm confident. Because if we do play, and I hope we do play like we did against West Ham for the rest of the season, sort of high line, pushing, pressing, creating lots of opportunities. But you'd think that plays right into Mahrez and Vardy and...
Tim Close is going to like slap him with his nose.
I'm surprised he has done... hasn't done enough of that yet, has he?
Bang.
A bit of nose slapping. But that does play right into their sort of strength, doesn't it? And that's how they've picked teams off, by enormous pace.
I guess so.
Which I think so, with Tetti back, I imagine Tetti will probably be dropping pretty deep for much of it, becoming a sort of a third centre-back. And then the rest of them will keep pushing on. Would you make any changes?
No.
None at all?
No.
You wouldn't bring Tetti back in?
No.
No?
Oh yeah, I would. Who for?
No. Yes.
I forgot about Tetti. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about whether we need to have a little bit more guile up top.
Okay. Have we got any guile up top?
Well, you got Morgan and Huth are going to just destroy Cameron Jerome.
Well, no, but that's only if we knock balls up to him, but he won't do that. I mean, Jerome's strengths are sort of... moving
behind.
To the side and getting, well, it's all getting behind, but sort of hitting the channels and stuff like that, and then creating space for Naismith, Wes and Redmond, which I think will work well against sort of Huth and Morgan, who have been very successful because they've dropped so deep, but they're good in physical battles, but they're not so good against sort of nimble players like Redmond and Wes. So that made having Jerome up there may well work. And yeah, Jerome's one of his least big fans ever, but when he's good, he's very good at moving centre backs around and creating space for the sort of three players behind him, and he was very good at that on Saturday.
Huthahan.
that's the big battle, isn't it?
Yeah,
for Leicester. Huthahan battle.
And if Cameron Morgan.
Sorry?
Cameron Morgan.
Doesn't work as well.
Mm.
No.
I thought it might if you just said it out loud.
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much for listening to the podcast this week, everyone. I hope you enjoyed it. What did we talk about? Animals.
Mostly killing animals.
Mostly killing animals.
But also the redemption at the end when my hamster Stan came back to life.
That's lovely.
It's a stinky little shit it was.
Oh.
No, they don't like hamsters.
I like when they put lots of food in their mouth. They're cute, don't they?
Yeah, that's quite fun. Yeah.
Good days. Mm. So, that's the end of the podcast. Thanks very much for coming.
Next week, we'll probably talk more about Leicester, actually, won't we?
Nope, because it's not next week.
Well, yeah, but upcoming, as in.
Next episode, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next week, whatever, yeah. And is anything happening next week? Are you doing anything?
There's no game, is there? So
No. There's
probably going to be nothing happening whatsoever.
No. So we're not going to do anything, are we, John?
No,
nothing.
We're not going to do
there's
absolutely
nothing coming
nothing
at all.
Nothing coming up whatsoever.
No. So don't keep an eye on our Twitter feed.
Don't keep an eye on
our website
feed
at all, because nothing's happening next week. That's exciting.
Don't refresh the podcast.
No.
This time next week, no, in a few days maybe.
Because we're definitely not doing anything exciting and exclusive that we're not allowed to talk about yet. We are allowed to talk about it. Nothing's happening, so we can't even talk about it or not talk about it.
What are you referencing?
I've no idea.
Is this what you're referencing? I don't get it. What? Thank you very much, everyone, and we'll speak to you soon. Well, how are we going to end this one?
Oh, we did a poll today, didn't we?
Well... It wasn't very good, is it?
Why not?
It wasn't your best, not gonna lie.
Well, your performance today's not been your best.
I know. What? It's well good. What's that map?
If you could kill one at no, sorry.
Yeah. If you could, how would you kill a seagull? With a stick? With a stone? With a bone? Or with words?
I tell you, the seagulls you get in Brighton, you couldn't kill them with anything. You need a truck to run those fuckers over because they are deadly. If they carry on growing by the rate they have grown in the last 20 years, they'll be bigger than humans
like
by 2030.
Like
just enormous.
Shall I play the music?
Yeah, okay. Ooh, 195 votes.
That's a lot.
Thank you for everyone. All 195 of you who voted in our poll. Who would you like to prefer to play on the left of the three behind striker? The options were Robbie Brady, Stephen Naismith, Ed Balls or Chairman Mao, because they're on the left, you see.
You like Ed Balls, don't you?
I do like Ed Balls, actually, yeah. Chairman Mao propped up the table, 12%, but then, I suppose, to be fair...
He would.
He's going to get even more money in China now with the Super Football League they've got over there.
He's dead, isn't he?
He's also dead, but they're paying a lot of money for pretty shitty footballers.
He's also dead.
19% saviour Stephen Naismith.
Oh.
Is in at number three behind Ed Balls, who doesn't even play football.
Mm.
Madness. So Naismith's gone from saviour to behind our chairman. And winner, comfortably, 47%, is Robbie Brady.
Is that why you did Chairman Meow? Because he's also a different chairman. Chairman,
yes.
Ed Balls?
Yes, that's why I did that one.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Lolly dick.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.